for this period of time. And to God be the glory, great things thou hast done. Let us pray. Father, we bless thee for the word of God given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Use us mightily today. Get honor and glory unto thy name. Save souls today, Lord God Almighty, and bring back backsliders unto thyself. For Christ's sake, amen. We want to give you a picture from the Bible concerning the world and all that's taking place and are yet to take place. The clock of the world industrial world shows us man's hire kept back. Of course, James chapter 5 and verse 4 brings that out. Unsatisfactory relations, quarrel between capital and labor, no hire for men. Zechariah 8 verse 4 to 10. Then there's the financial world. That is to have and have not. There are those who are heaping up treasures, corrupted riches, wanton living, and as witnesses against the rich. James chapter 5, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 5. Then there's the social world. It speaks about the unholiness of people living in covetousness, incontinent, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Then it speaks of the moral world without natural affection, meaningless marriages, divorces, and despising God in 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 to 4. Then it shows us the diplomatic world with their pacts and parleys, leagues, treaties, international negotiations, peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. Then it speaks of the religious world. The Bible tells us they shall come a falling away, an increasing apostasy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Speaks of false teachers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Then there's the unconcerned world. For this they are willingly ignorant. There it shows spiritual indifference, as in the days of Noah. It speaks of the last day scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, as well as Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, and Romans 1 and verse 22. Then there's the natural world. It shows us signs in the heavens and earth, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 24 and verse 8. Then we notice the Jewish world, the fig tree putting forth its leaves, a national religious restoration, trodden down until Luke 21, 24. Then we have the Gentile world, revival of the Roman Empire in Daniel chapter 2, verse 40 to 44. The superpower and its final form, times of the Gentiles, strong as an iron. In the midst of all, the Bible shows the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Then there's the criminal world, the increase of crime, 2 Timothy 3:13. And then finally, the political world, men's hearts failing them for fear, Luke 21 and 25. So you see, the Bible gives us a picture of our present world. Either Christ must come, or the world will sink under the weight of its own sin and guilt. Now, the Bible shows us where God, he is in charge of everything that go on in the world. He is in control. If you read Psalm 119 and 91, it shows us that everything is in the hands of God Almighty. We do not know how many parts man plays or Satan plays. But one thing we know, that the prophets, they attribute all circumstances that leads right up to the throne of God, to the hand of God. God is the creator and controller of this world. God is in charge of this world. Not human beings, not the devil, but God himself. God runs things. Human beings does not run things. The devil does not run things, but God himself. God gives us a measure. God gives us a limit until the cup is too much for our God. God gets angry with nations, as we see through the scriptures. It is important that human beings understand that they cannot do anything apart from God. God, through his permissive will, allow things to happen. Sometimes his direct will, he allowed things to happen. Also, we see God's overruling will, in that he does not allow you to go too far or too much. And so I wanted to let you know that the scripture tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. Wherefore, by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. The Apostle Paul stated that he was the chief of all sinners. So all of us have sinned. That is an awful disease. It is worse than the epidemic. It is worse than the virus. It is worse than any disease that we see in the world. All of us may not get some of the diseases, but we all have the disease of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of our God. And so when we look at the industrial world in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, we notice that the industrial world, it's a world of unrest and lawlessness. And in Zechariah 8, 4 to 10, here we read some things there. For example, verse 9, thus said the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. God encourages the builders who adhere to Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. These are the prophets of the restoration. And God wanted his temple to be built. Of course, we read further. For before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beasts. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For he set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. Of course, Israel had experienced enemies to try and hinder them from building back all of God's temple, so that God may have a place to house his testimony. And thus we find that there was no more hiring, just as we see today before our very eyes. We also notice where, through fraud, the laborers' hire were kept back. James chapter 5 and verse 4 shows us that. And so there was no hire for beasts, no peace for anyone, for all men were against each other. And we find that today, this is what the epidemic has caused too, as we see right before our very eyes. So that there is a great need. There seems to be unrest. But God is speaking to the human race. God is speaking to all of us. He's speaking to the church, because this gives the church the privilege of getting the message of the gospel out. It gives the church the privilege to challenge people, to let them know that God wants to catch their attention, that God wants them to come back to him, that God wants them to return to him. Because as far as you and I can see, people don't seem to want God in their life. And we hardly hear anybody today talking about, well, what God can do and will do. They're not even praying to God that God will continue to show mercy and to give them peace of mind, peace of heart. We notice that we find people, they like the Wild Wild West, like they're gone astray, like they were tied up. And that haven't given them no freedom, because if you are not saved, if people today do not trust Jesus Christ as their own personal savior, they are still tied up. They are in chains. They are in slavery. So this is what we see in the industrial world, this unrest, this lawlessness. Of course, it's going to get worse. For this is what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 shows us, that people during those times, they became apostate. They turned away from the truth of God's precious word. And it was like a delusion. They turned away from God instead of accepting the truth of God's precious word. They allow the evil teachers to attack their mind, to attack their hearts, to attack their intelligence. And so we find where they themselves are disturbed in their hearts. They are restless. No peace for no one. Not until people decide to take Christ as their own personal savior. And we as believers, we have the peace of God and peace with God, the peace that passeth all understanding, even in the midst of this virus. We can call upon our God, and we know that God gives us the full assurance. And so, my beloved brothers and sisters and friends, the early revelations of creation, the traditional knowledge of God, and the voice of providence were made known to the nations of the world from their origin. And because of that, men from that time, even until now, are responsible to God for all the things that are taking place in the earth. Men must come to the responsibility that they have thrown their fist in God's hands, and that God is going to speak. The word of God tells us in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 7, I make peace and create evil. Amos chapter 3 and verse 6 says, shall evil befall a city and the Lord hath not done it? So that every circumstance, all of these calamities, for that's the meaning of the word evil, it's an adjective. All calamities, all adversities, all dangers leads up to the hand of God Almighty. Because God wants you to know that you're not in charge. He is in charge. When God made us, He made us for Himself. He made us to glorify Him. And He wants our lives. He wants us back. And God will not allow mankind to continue to do as He thinks or she thinks upon this earth. I make peace. God brings peace. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their sins unto them. Our sins were imputed in Jesus Christ, was credited to Him, accounted to Him. Praise God. Even when we were in our sins, God reconciled the world unto Himself. It is important that we make peace with our God. We make peace with our brothers and sisters. We make peace with our neighbors. We make peace with people. We can become our own enemy. We can create our own disease, our own epidemics. Because we fail to make peace with God, we fail to make peace with our brothers and sisters, we fail to make peace with our neighbors. And it is so important. God told the people in the days of Amos, shall evil befall a city, and the Lord hath not done it. So that we find, my dear brothers and sisters, especially in the word of God, which is very, very clear in the Old Testament, that God overruled to bring evil circumstances upon groups of nations. Circumstances not necessarily miraculously abnormal, but nevertheless abnormal, as were those which befell Judah and a dozen other nations in the days of Jeremiah and the group of prophets, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Ezekiel, and Daniel, who were his contemporaries. The word of God shows us where there are enemies all around us. There are even enemies that we cannot see. But the word of God gives us our clothing. The word of God shows us to put on our armor. We must not only be forewarned, but forearmed. It is important, my beloved. And so today, we find because of the behavior of sinful people, the human race are suffering. Everybody are feeling it. What can we do? Turn back to God Almighty. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. To the direct question of the men and women of that day and even today about the times in which they lived, there is a direct answer found in Jeremiah 13:25. This is thy lot, the portion measured unto thee from me, said the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. The world needs to understand this, that God has given the world the truth, but they've turned away from the truth. They've despised the truth of God's word. They've set it at naught, and they have accepted falsehood. Even today, they are accepting the delusion, the big lie. Even today, it will get worse. Yes, it will get worse after the church has gone. So the prophets, my beloved, attribute everything to the direct hand of God. We don't know what part man play or Satan might have. But one thing we can see, the prophets, they traced everything to the throne and attributed to the hand of God. God says again, I make peace. God says again, I create evil. Human history is very long. It's a long story. And the story of attempt and failure. More attempt and more failure. Great attempt and greater failure. All because man failed to see that circumstances depend upon attitude toward God and behavior before him. People have got to learn to behave. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have got to come abreast to one understanding. We can make a difference in spite of the epidemic, in spite of the virus. We can make a difference. A nucleus of believers with Bible doctrine, with teaching of the Word of God, can use that Word of God because it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. It is the zone of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so it is so important, my beloved, that we see the industrial unrest and lawlessness all about us. Now, one more before I close off. We look at the social world in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 and 30. The description that the Bible gives us of the social world is about unholy living, without pity, no reverence for God anymore. People don't fear God anymore. Covetousness and incontinence. No control over appetites and passions. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. These people are full of sensual gratification. That is their God. Traitors or betrayers. Luke 6:16. Thinking of Judas Iscariot, who never once called Jesus Christ Lord. Never recognized the Lordship of Christ at all, but who was a renowned traitor, betrayer, who turned away from God, who became an apostate. Then heady, people who were rash and hasty, reckless, headstrong, like in Acts 19:36. Today we see these rash and hasty and reckless and headstrong people on the road, driving terrible. We've got to be careful. Everywhere we travel, people are driving crazily. No respect for the other driver at all. Then we see high-minded, senseless, conceited, silly people. God used one of the men in Acts chapter 19:36, the town clerk, to warn the people of their uproar against the apostles and warn them against their rash attitude, that God would hold them into accountability one day. And then he dismissed the assembly. They went their way. So my beloved, here we find that the individual's identity and character, mark you, are seen in this world. God gives us social natures. Bear that in mind. We are social people, definitely. We are a social being, social consciousness, and we have social problems. We have to be sociable, enjoying or requiring the company of others. Read Romans 12, and we get a good picture of that. God created us with social natures. The very animals socialize. In Genesis 2:18, we see a social relationship. Not a solitary being. No, we're not solitary beings. We are social creatures. Genesis 2:21-25. Let us value Christian companionship by showing practical social relationship as Adam and Eve fostered it. Cherish it, rejoice in it, until traveling days are over. Meanwhile, we exercise and energize that nearness, that intimacy and attraction, even at a distance. Socially and personally acquainted, shown by Christ, the ideal. In other words, Christ is the central part of your life and my life. We are a people that know God. And because we have an intimate relationship with our God, we would therefore seek to pray for one another. We would seek to bring one another together in prayer. Wherever we are, we would seek to let God continue to use us all in a marvelous way, in a wonderful way. We would seek to pray for our lawmakers, that they may turn to Jesus Christ and that they may think right, they may think sensibly, that people would not foolishly give away their lives, but that people would use wisdom, sanctified common sense. God wants us all. We are praying for our children. We are seeking to keep our children in a discipline and mark way concerning all of what is taking place in the world. We love our children. We love one another. We love the people of the world. We hate their behavior. We hate their attitudes. But we want people to know that our God wants all of us. Our God wants us to trust him. Our God wants us to serve him in spite of all. Our God wants us to use wisdom. Yes, we have faith in our God, but faith and wisdom go hand in hand. Our faith does not force God's hand. Our faith does not cause us to take a leap into the dark. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is important for us to watch for these things. See where the Lord can lead us all. Mark you, all of us have to stay put. At times we have to move. But blessed be God, we are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. The blood of Christ sheltered us. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our refuge. He can turn our anguish into anthems, our jeopardy into joyfulness, our tragedy into triumphs. Bless God. He will not choose us and then refuse us. He will not accept us and then reject us. Praise God. He calls us unto himself, and we're supposed to give him our all that he wants belongs to him, and our lives belongs to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We trust that if any unsaved person that are listening, that they'll remember this, that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and paid the price of sin on the behalf. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And that he's willing to save any one of us who are not saved. Thank God for those of us who are saved. A word of caution to draw near to our God every day. Continue. Do not give up. Do not throw in the sponge. Do not allow this epidemic to cause us to lose grip of the Word of God, to lose our mind, but to grasp the GAP, the grace apparatus for perception. That is the provision of the Word of God that God had made for every child of God, regardless of his educational ability or human IQ, so that we may assimilate God's precious teachings and keep them here, keep them in the mind. Therefore, let's pray for backsliders, that backsliders would return. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we're thankful again for giving us a little picture of what is taking place in the world. But we thank thee that there is an answer for that darkness, the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, cause us to continue to preach the word where we are. We have to stay put. Thou hast caused us to stay put. We have to reverence thee. We have to fear thee. We have to respect thee. We cannot go over the limit. Lord God, until you said to us, move. Bless the saints in the world and those whom we have spoken to at this particular time, we pray thee. Lord God Almighty, continue to watch over the Lord's people and the children, Lord. Protect the children. Keep the children from harm and from danger. We humbly beg thee. I say, Lord God Almighty, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be accepted to thee, O Lord, who's our rock and our redeemer. Amen.